Thanks, Gary. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. Let me pray for us as we prepare to look at God's word together. Father, please help us to hear what you have to say to us today by your Spirit. Please grow us in our love for Jesus and enable us to live for him. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Do you trust me? Many of us know that famous line from Jack to Rose in that epic film Titanic. It feels good when we can trust someone. It feels good when we can rely on someone. When someone says that they'll do something and they follow through. But what happens when they don't follow through? What happens when we trust someone and they let us down? Especially if that person is a Christian, or maybe even a Christian who taught us the gospel. What happens when someone doesn't keep their word or show up? What happens when trust is threatened? Well, in today's passage, we quickly discover that trust between the Apostle Paul and the Corinthian church has been threatened. We know from Acts chapter 18 that Paul taught the Corinthians the gospel and he started the church there. But after he left, problems arose and Paul wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians to correct those problems. It's clear, however, that the relationship between Paul and this church continues to be complicated. Even though Paul had taught the Corinthians the gospel, they'd begun to disregard him as a leader. Why is that? Well, they'd now had exposure to more wealthy and impressive Christian leaders. And in comparison, Paul was poor. He earned a meagre living through manual labour, and he was often homeless. He was also an unimpressive public speaker, and he constantly seemed to be under persecution and suffering, which, by the way, didn't appeal much to the Corinthians. At this point in their relationship with Paul, the Corinthians are particularly frustrated by his lack of follow-through with regard to his intentions to visit them. So as we read in our passage today, Paul had hoped to visit the Corinthians twice. So we read of his intentions in chapter 1, verse 16. We see that first, he'd wanted to visit on his way to Macedonia, and second, on his way back. However, he makes some changes to his itinerary based on what he calls a painful visit in chapter 2, verse 1. As this change of plans that causes the Corinthians to accuse Paul of being insincere, fickle, and selfish, trust had been threatened. So Paul writes this letter of 2 Corinthians to assure the Corinthians of his love and commitment for them. Now, last week, Renee walked us through chapter 1, verses 1 through to 11. And in those verses, Paul opens the letter by thanking the God of all comfort, the God who has brought peace and encouragement to him and the Corinthians during this time of division and dispute. Now, in this next section, which we're looking at this morning, Paul addresses this breakdown of trust, and we can characterise his actions in three ways. And as we explore these three characteristics, we'll see how Paul's response can continue to inform our response to ongoing breakdown of trust in our own Christian relationships. So if you're taking notes, this is our outline for today. When trust is threatened, like Paul, may our Christian relationships be characterised by sincerity, stability, and sensitivity. So let's begin with sincerity. In verses 12 through to 18, Paul opens by proclaiming that the boast of he and his co-workers, their list of credentials, as it were, are firmly rooted in Christ and his grace. Now, he makes this explicit later in the letter in chapter 10, where he says, "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Paul assures the Corinthians that he's acted with nothing but integrity and godly sincerity toward them. He says that he's fully relied on God's grace and not worldly wisdom. His conscience is clear in how he's dealt with them. He meant what he wrote, and he wrote what he meant. He desperately wants them to understand fully so that they can boast in each other when Jesus returns. He also ardently denies the charge of being fickle, which he'll explain in more detail later in the passage. It's like Paul is using the sign off, "Yours sincerely." He's saying there's no hidden meaning or motives here. You can trust what I've said to you in person. You can trust what I've written here. My words and actions are completely sincere. Now, for those of you who are fans of tennis like me, you'll know that when a player hits a lucky net cord or a frame shot out of reach, they sort of offer this repentant hand. Usually it's a slight wave, or sometimes it's accompanied with the flick of a racket. Now, the player might even offer acknowledgement with some kind of gesture or a gaze or a regretful expression before the next point. Now, though this is ingrained in tennis culture, nobody means it. One well-known player says, "You're never sorry. You're actually kind of elated that you got the luck." So at the tennis court, the apology is not sincere. But on a more serious note, if we consider insincerity in our own lives, perhaps we mislead friends by telling them we might show up to an event, even though we don't really have any intentions of doing so. We might fall into flattery with words we don't mean because we think it's what another person wants to hear. We might make big decisions based on impulse or convenience without asking God for his wisdom. We might put forward a fake or polished version of ourselves on social media in order to impress others. We might spin stories just a bit so that we come off looking a bit better than in reality. We might become cryptic and lack straightforwardness when we have something difficult to say. Would your Christian family here at St Alf's identify you as sincere? Would they call you reliable, straightforward, and authentic? What would the Christian community look like if we were all sincere with our words and actions? If we were all clear and straightforward? If we all meant what we said and said what we meant in a loving and gentle manner? Paul here appeals to his own sincerity, which can be a really helpful antidote when breakdown in trust comes into play in Christian relationships. Now, we know that sincerity, just by its very nature, is hard to fake. We know the real deal when we see it. We certainly see the real deal in Jesus. There's not a speck of inauthenticity in him. But being completely sincere is challenging, especially in a world where we don't always know how to say things that are difficult and trust can so easily be threatened. We desperately need God's wisdom, the grace of Jesus, and the enabling of his Spirit to navigate all the complexities of Christian relationships. So when trust is threatened, may our Christian relationships be characterised by sincerity. We now see the second characteristic on display in the midst of breakdown of trust: stability. The Corinthians had expected Paul to visit, and he hadn't turned up. So they say, "He's a yes and no man. He put it in his diary, and he hasn't followed through." Now, in verses 19 through to 22, Paul digresses a bit. And because of this, the connection between these verses is a little tricky to put together. But essentially, what I think Paul is saying to the Corinthians is this. You might be accusing me of being fickle toward coming or not coming to visit you. But I want you to know something about the gospel that we have brought you. God is not fickle, and there's nothing unreliable about his message. Every promise of God is yes in Christ. I think the connection that Paul is making between this gospel truth and his own change of plans is this. How can a man who follows Jesus be a yes and no man? Jesus is always yes. So I think what Paul's saying is I went back on my word for a very good reason, a gospel reason. Now he goes on to explain his specific reasoning for changing his plans from verse 23. He says it was for the sake of the Corinthians, not because Paul is fickle. Paul follows a stable God. And this means that God's stability will sometimes trump his own. Paul is flexible and aims to order his priorities for the good of the gospel and for the sake of God's people. George Guthrie, in his commentary on 2 Corinthians, says this: Paul's mission, his decisions, his pattern of life, and therefore his words are not perfect, but they so rest on the bedrock of the character of God and are so in sync with God's gospel that Paul can speak of the integrity of his words and commitments with the utmost confidence. Now, I recently had the privilege of travelling to Norway, which I'm very grateful for, and I got to do some whitewater rafting, which was a blast. But what do you think happens if travellers receive a message on the morning of their booking from the rafting company saying that their trip has been cancelled? Well, the travellers could be furious and get angry at the company for going back on their word, or they could wait for the email explaining that the water was unsafe to raft on that day due to extreme weather conditions. That the decision had not been made due to the self-interest of the rafting company, but for the safety and sake of the travellers. So I wonder, when trust is threatened in the Christian community, do we jump to conclusions or give others an opportunity to explain their actions? Do we ask others what led them to their decision? Perhaps there was a good gospel reason that was for our sake. I think it's really helpful to give our Christian brothers and sisters the benefit of the doubt and a chance to explain. We can also use it as an opportunity to remind ourselves that our trust and dependence is not ultimately in other people anyway. That lies in Jesus, who never fails. But what about our own actions? Are we stable and reliable? When we commit to a coffee or a meeting, do we show up? Do we let others down, or do we keep our word? But more importantly, do we put the message of Jesus first and arrange our lives around whatever priorities the gospel brings into our situation? Sometimes we may have to adjust our plans for the sake of others, as God calls. Sometimes our plans may change as the progress of the gospel demands it. Let me give you a recent example from my life. So a couple of months ago, I'd planned a weekend away with some friends and family, and I'd organised to give one of my friends a lift. So earlier in the week, I'd sent them a text saying, looking forward to the weekend, I'll pick you up at 5:30 from your place. But on the Friday afternoon, the end of my workday didn't quite go as planned. So as I was finishing up my day at Swinburne Uni Christian Union, where I work, I was packing up my things and preparing to head out the door at 5 p.m. However, just as I was about to leave, a Muslim student wandered into the room asking for a Bible. So I thought, all right, I'm just going to stick around and talk to them for a while. And I gave them a Bible and we had quite a long chat and it was a bit awkward to text my friend mid-conversation. So it ended up that I was about an hour late picking up my friend. Now, in that moment, I had to make the choice to sacrifice my own reputation of showing up on time, like I said, for the sake of the gospel. Now, that's just one example, and I certainly don't make the right call all of the time. In fact, in many situations, I make the wrong call. But for those of us who struggle with this, we find some wonderful news in verses 21 to 22 of our passage. By God's grace, when we put our trust in Jesus, we're told that he enables us to stand firm in Christ and his will. He's anointed and sealed us by his Holy Spirit, which serves as a guarantee that he will complete his work in us. So when trust is threatened, may our Christian relationships be characterized by stability, gospel stability. We now come to the third and final characteristic on display in the midst of breakdown of trust, sensitivity. In verses 123 through to 24, as we've seen, Paul finally gets around to fully explaining his change of itinerary. And his sensitivity shines through. Paul says that if he'd shown up in person, as he'd initially planned, he would have had to confront and correct the Corinthians again. And this would have been at a time when they were still raw from his last painful visit. If he had shown up as he'd intended, he would have protected his own reputation of being reliable, but both he and the Corinthians would have suffered as a result. He would have been rubbing salt into their wounds. His motivation in changing his plans was not for selfish gain, but rather to spare them more pain. He explains that he doesn't want to be the lord over their lives and they be his little minions. He doesn't want to move them around like chess pieces. Rather, he wants to come alongside them as a co-worker and build them up in faith. His overwhelming concern is that they taste the real and solid joy of the gospel. So, rather than coming to visit, Paul patiently withdraws and writes this gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, tear-stained, love-saturated letter. And he did this hoping that by the time he came to visit in person, they would have already responded well. Then he could spend his time among them joyfully. In the midst of this breakdown of trust, Paul made a difficult decision for the sake of gospel priority and unity. He was willing to open himself up emotionally to make things right. He was willing to be slandered and to avoid unnecessary confrontations for the sake of Jesus. He gave the Corinthians the time and the space they needed to process what had happened and to reach a place of joy in Christ. Now, Paul here is about a 50-year-old man, and he's not holding back with his emotions. He's sharing them openly for the sake of clear communication and restored relationship with his brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the kind of emotion we see on the page here is somewhat foreign, I think, to us in our culture, perhaps particularly for men. I recently saw the classic 1980s film The Man from Snowy River with a friend. The Melbourne Symphony Orchestra performed the soundtrack live, so it was a great night out, can recommend. But the landscapes are beautiful in this film, right? And there were many things I loved about it. But I was struck by the main character's lack of emotional vulnerability. So the climax of the movie is that famous scene where Tom Berlinson's character, Jim Craig, rides down that steep slope to collect the runaway colt. Now, up until that point in the film, Jim hadn't been particularly trusted by other characters. But with his impressive horse riding, he wins them over. Now, as I watch, I've got to admit, I was personally quite frustrated that the key to gaining that trust was his horse riding rather than any form of emotional vulnerability. When trust is threatened in the church, I love that Paul gives us the example here of displaying sensitivity. So are we vulnerable with one another at St Alf's? Are we willing to open up with those in our growth group, our Christian friends, and people we sit next to here on Sunday mornings? How do we respond when we've lost the trust of a brother or sister, or when they've lost trust in us? Are we vulnerable enough to show our emotions, or do we let pride, our reputation, or the need to save face get in the way? Do we let others know how we feel, or do we leave people guessing? Are we willing to be authentically sensitive for the sake of our brother or sister's joy? Christ-like love and sensitivity for the sake of our brother and sister is so important. Opening up emotionally and showing sensitivity can be a real gift, I think, to others. It can help them understand how we feel and can enable the restoration of damaged bridges. Now, it definitely takes sacrifice to open up emotionally, but I think it's worth it for the sake of healthy relationships in the church. As Christians, sensitivity matters. To follow Jesus is to walk in the steps of the one who wept over Jerusalem, the one who wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus, the one who sweat drops of blood at the prospect of dying in our place, the one who went to his death on a cross for us and rose again so that we may have life. This is the depth of love that God has shown for us. And this is the depth of love that God has called us to as we relate to one another. Jesus is perfectly sensitive and stable and sincere in the midst of all the complexities of human relationships. And in this passage today, Paul gives us a tangible, lived-in example of how to respond when trust is threatened in the church among God's people. So, in our relationships with each other, let's likewise, empowered by the Holy Spirit, pursue sincerity. Let's say what we mean and mean what we say. Let's aim for stability. Let's follow through with our intentions and at the same time be willing to adjust them for gospel priorities and for the sake of our Christian family. And let's uphold sensitivity. Let's be vulnerable and open for the sake of our brothers and sisters, all the while trusting that we are secure in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we stand firm in Jesus and that you've assured us of this by your Holy Spirit. Please help us each day to navigate our relationships with one another in a way that honours you with sincerity, stability, and sensitivity. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.